Tabernacle Baptist Church, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Brother Harvey, it's always good to see you and your wife. Thank y'all. Just thank you so much for having us. I do recognize some faces here today, and there are some new faces. So let me introduce ourselves. My name is Brandon. My wife is Devonna there, and our daughter Emma, one of our three children, is with us today. Praise the Lord, we were able to complete 20 years in the United States military. I was in the Army. I don't hold that against any Navy folks. I think we already talked about that today, right? I was in the infantry for 20 years with several different assignments and details and taskings. But overall, we spent over 10 years or right at 10 years at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. We spent 2 years in 05, 06 here at Fort Hood, and then we came back for 3 years to wrap up at Fort Hood. And then the remaining 5 years were spent in Fort McCoy, Wisconsin. They were spent overseas in Korea with my family together. During that time, we had deployments. I deployed in the invasion of Iraq with the 101st Airborne Division. We went back to Iraq during the president's surge in 05, 06. He commanded about an extra 200,000 troops go. We filled up that area. I was there with the 4th Infantry Division for a year. Went back to Fort Campbell. We deployed to Afghanistan for a year. Stood up a brigade over there in the mountains, which is still there at FOB Salerno. Worked in Bagram. We were in Kuwait. We just spent a lot of time serving our country. And I want to thank you other men and women that may have served also. Just thank you very much. If maybe you had parents that served, or you have children that serve now, or did, family members, or you're tied to the military, thank you so much. I appreciate you, especially you old timers that served at a different time than I did. It wasn't quite as popular. You didn't quite get the thank you that you deserve, and I just want to thank you myself. You know, we just sang a song, and I want to bring something out. Don't you love some old-fashioned hymns that are biblically true? I like that. I like some of the new things that's out, too, but I like it to be biblically true. And Brother Hammond's brought something up. That song in number 87, we sang, Jesus, When I Need Him Most. I'm not too proud to let you know. I don't know every song in the hymn book, okay? In fact, there's every once in a while we come across a song I've never heard. Has anybody else never heard that song before? I looked over at the Neils. Have y'all heard that song before? You haven't. I know. That's two people. Anybody else never heard that? Thank you, brother. We have one more honest person in this church building tonight. Listen, I had never heard that song before. This song says, Jesus is near just when I need him. Hey, when you don't need him and you think you don't need him, Jesus is near, amen? When you're out doing something you shouldn't be doing, Jesus Christ is near by your side. The Bible tells us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. I believe there was times he was near by my side before I ever knew him, amen? I believe he was orchestrating things in my life. He's always been near, not just when we need him. Jesus is true. The Bible says, let every man be a liar. It said, let God be true, but every man a liar in the book of Romans. I often quote that verse because in many sermons, that verse works its way back in because we've got to let God be true. You got to let God be true. This here says, just when I need him, Jesus is true. If we ever need Jesus today in a world that's lost and confused and dying because of the falsehoods and the disparities and the attack on the gospel and the truth that it is, we need it today. Jesus Christ is true. This song also says, Jesus, just when I need him, Jesus is strong. The Bible tells us that the word of the Lord is a strong tower in the book of Psalms, David writes about, and the righteous run into it. Church, we need to run into a strong tower today. We need to believe in a word that's true. Jesus Christ cannot be anything but true. And we need to understand that Jesus Christ is near today. Hey, listen, church, let me just help you out today. When you sing these hymns, don't just mumble through it and, Jesus, when I need him, he's near, and he's falter when I fear and ready to help me. Hey, this is truth that you're reading today, and take it personal. Jesus Christ is real, and if he's real in your life, and he should be real in our lives, church, church members, church folks, then you can take some of these and you can start connecting some Bible verses and Bible truth to everything that you're reading these hymns, and it just makes it a little more personal. I like that. Jesus is near, and Jesus is true, and Jesus is strong, that hymn says. And I could just stay and preach that for a minute if I wanted to. When you sing a hymn that you can preach, it just kind of gets you going for a minute, doesn't you? My brother, is it Brother Cole? Is that your name? Yes, sir. I see you on the gate when I come in and out, and I've been in just a couple. I'm retired now. I don't go back on that post when I don't have to. But when I do have to, I see a smiling face over there. Do you ever just sometimes get tired of standing there? And sometimes, and you just got to sing a little bit in your heart. I think if you'll take some Bible truth and you'll apply it to a song in your heart, that God will help you through the day. Let that just be a word of encouragement. That's why we're an old-fashioned Bible-preaching church that sings good old-fashioned true hymns. And I appreciate that hymn. I appreciate this church. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing. We have a table set up in the back. Everybody see our table back there? Please get a card. Please take a second, not just because we've got 1,000 cards to hand out, and it's what we do. Take a card so you can slip it in your Bible. I've got a card right here. Brother Harvey gave me a card. I've got some other cards that I collect, and sometimes I keep in my Bible or put places. I came in the room the other day. My wife had the cards there stacked up on the bed. I guess she was looking over them or praying through them. Pray for your missionaries, please. If we come through and visit you and you think about us later and you see our card, please take a second to pray for us and pray about the things that I'm going to tell you here about the ministry that God's called us to do. We began to get ready to retire. Last time I was in here was about the first time I was in here, we were preparing to retire, but I wasn't called to the ministry yet. I just filled in for Pastor Spurbeck one time. The next time we came in passing through, we were preparing to retire, and we had surrendered to the United States military, surrendered to mission field to the United States military. Since then, we have been retired since February 1st, and now we know without a shadow of a doubt where we'll be going. We're going to South Korea. There's a fabulous missionary there named Larry Ferguson. He's with Baptist Missions to Forgotten People. He got out of the military 26 years ago, went right back over to Korea and started a church way up north in Tongdachong. It was in that church for about 5 or 6 years until all the troops began to move south. As the troops began to strategically replace and different bases began to get made there around Daegu and Osan, those began to build up, and they don't even compare to what Camp Casey used to be. But now those are the bases, so he moved down there 19 years ago and started a church called Calvary Baptist Church. You can look it up on the internet. It's a great church. You can see the church services. I believe you can hear some of the preaching there, see some of the latest conversions and the salvations and baptisms and him outworking. We're going to relieve him. He's coming back to Panama City, Florida, to begin a military ministry there outside the naval base. As soon as our support is raised and we get things together, we plan on going over in January in the coming year to take over. We have some big shoes to fill. God's done an amazing work there with a great man of God, and we're thankful. We're humbled to even be considered to do God's will in the first place, to work in the service of the King, but to go over and take that church. If I would have played the video today, the video wouldn't play. Me and Brother Hammonds tried to get that to work. It's my fault. I failed. I didn't bring the correct chords here. But if we would have played the video, one of the things that you would have seen explained there is that a way that we're going to accomplish our ministry is to immediately get plugged in with the local leadership there. I don't think that I need to be working against that military leadership, okay? Now, I'm not a chaplain. Praise the Lord. I'm not a chaplain. That's not what God's called me to be. He's allowed me to get out the military and go over and minister to these soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines, their family members. But I do believe that going over and connecting with the local leadership and connecting to them on a friendly basis is going to be much more profitable than just letting them know the regulation allows me to come on post and pass these tracts out. And it does. The regulation does not prohibit in any way for me to come on post and let these folks know, hey, my name is Brother Brandon, Neil, this is my wife, Devonna. We're pastoring the church right off post, right down the street. We'd love to have you come. Do you go to church anywhere? And do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you ever gone to church? Whatever myriad of questions we can ask them, I can do that on post all day. Amen. Nobody can tell me I can't. But I think if that's going to rub anybody wrong, it would be very smart of me to make sure I go in and make friends with those commanders first, if possible. If not possible, then I just let the Lord guide. We'll go hand out tracts all day. Amen. Now, let me tell you about the church. We might get into preaching in just a minute, but I want to tell you about this ministry. It's so amazing. Missionaries go overseas, and they take a long, sometimes you have to take a survey trip. Amen. Do we have a mission? You want to be a missionary for me, son? Will you help me out? Come here. I need some help, man. I need some help. What is your name again? Ben. All right, sir. Ben, let's hear it for our newest missionary today. Ben, where is Ben going to go? Where's Ben going? Liberia. Wow. Is that your brother back there? He's sending you to Liberia. What a brother. Could have been to Hawaii, could have been anywhere else, but no, Liberia. Ben's going to Liberia. God has called Ben to Liberia. You understand in this part of play here, he's a missionary to Liberia. He's going to have to go to Liberia maybe and take a survey trip. Is that right? So, church, we need to send him. That's going to take a few thousand dollars to get him over there, put some money in the bank so he can live in Liberia for 1, 2, 3 months, maybe 6 months, maybe, and get around the area there in the country of Liberia and find out where exactly God wants him to start that church. He might have to learn that Liberian language, right? That Far Eastern language up there, so he might have to go to language school for about 18 months just to get the basics down to learn that language in Liberia. Then once he finds out where he is, he's been over there about 3 months, he comes back and he begins language school. He goes through about a year or two of language school while he's on deputation raising that support, and he finally gets over there. Now, what's the first thing, young Ben, right? What's the first thing Ben does in Liberia? He begins getting out, passing out some literature, amen? Hey, handing people a tract, handing people literature. This is my church address. We're right up there on the hill on the corner. We'd love to have you. We're having a Saturday night service. We're having a Sunday night service. We're having a Monday meal. You can come all weekend. We got things happening. We're preaching. And as he begins inviting people out, the best case scenario, somebody asks him, and what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm a preacher, and I'm here to proclaim the word of Jesus Christ. And they say, who is Jesus? Amen, right, right? And he, best case scenario, begins telling them, well, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he walked this earth in a ministry, and he came to die for the church and for you, lost sinner, and he died on a cross, and he raised 3 days later, paid for your sin. He begins to tell this young man that he's a sinner and he needs a Savior. And this young man that he met in Liberia on the street inviting people to church now accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, understands he's a sinner in need of a Savior. It's real easy, isn't it? And then he begins building that church God does with all these new converts as they are saved and baptized and added to the church. And now Ben is pastoring a church in Liberia, and all this started 4 or 5 years ago. Young missionary Ben, right, in Liberia, right? You might want to think about that Liberia place. Go have a seat, Ben. Thank you. All right, that's missions. That's missions 101, right? Goes over, proselytizes, gives folks the gospel, leads them to Christ, adds them to the church as they're baptized, added to the church, builds that church up in the name of God. Then maybe later on he can have enough build up in that church. He can raise up a young Timothy there, disciple him, put him in charge of the church, and move on down to the next church. Everybody with me? That is missions. That's what we're given to, missions, to see people saved, to see churches flourish and see churches build and do something different in that community for the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, military missions is not like that. That's not military missions. It's different. God has called us not to a specific place, number one, but to a people, the United States military. and they're everywhere. Where in the world could we go? And that's a good question. Where in the world could we go? We found out there was a dire need there in South Korea, and this pastor, Larry Ferguson, needed to come home off the mission field. It was a great match. It was perfect. And we've spent 2 years in Korea as a family. Spent 1 year by myself in Korea. We know that area. Now, once we raise our support and we get over there, and I meet this young man on the streets of Korea and lead him to the Lord, praise the Lord in the first Sunday service or right there in the street, add him to the church here. We have a church of about 25, 35, 45 people on any, well, actually it's more than that at this church, isn't it? 65, 75 people there in Daegu, South Korea attend this church on a weekly basis. But it's time for me now to turn it over to somebody, to find a good Timothy to turn that over to so I can get down to the next location. There's no Timothy to turn it over to in a military church overseas. They're all coming back. They're over in Korea for 12 months, and they're turning around and coming back. Number one difference is there's no Timothy there. Number two, there's no deacons, trustees, or charter members at this church. Folks get saved by the grace of God because they're busy out passing out tracts or putting their feet on the sidewalk. They're meeting these folks. They're getting them into the church. They're getting them saved. Amen. But then they're plugging them into churches like this. If somebody was coming back to Fort Hood, Texas, well, that would be pretty easy for me to call Pastor Spurbeck, wouldn't it? Hey, Pastor Spurbeck, I've got a soldier over here, and he's coming back to Fort Hood, Texas. He's newly saved. He needs somebody to meet him at the airport or pick him up or help him find an apartment and get him plugged into a church. Do I have anybody in this church that would do that for me? And he would say, absolutely. Okay, does he got a family? Yeah, he's got a family, too. They play the piano and sing, and he teaches Sunday school. Can you use him? Yeah. I bet you'd say, yeah, we could use him. Maybe y'all have somebody that goes to the military and he find out he's going to Korea. You call up Brother Brandon. Brother Brandon, maybe he's going to Germany. Call up Brother Brandon. I'll find somebody in Germany you can send him to. That's a little bit of a difference. There's a whole lot of differences. But the military ministry, praise the Lord, I know the military ministry because I've been in the military for 20 years. That survey trip that young Ben had to take to Liberia, and all that money he had to spend, and the time he had to learn the language, and the time he had to learn the culture, and the time he had to learn the area, I've been on a 20-year survey trip already. I've been on a survey trip about 20 years now. It started at Fort Benning, Georgia in 1998. And from then on, I was on a survey trip, and I never knew it, but God did, amen? Then we retired. Now, all that's taken care of. I know the language. I know the culture. Man, I know the people. I love them. In fact, it's kind of hard when you retire to step away from it. You're right outside the gate. You're as close as you can get, aren't you? I know what you mean. You've pastored them. You've led them to the Lord. You love soldiers, don't you? I know. Same here. And God's going to let us go over and pastor them and love them and tell them the truth and tell them Jesus Christ died for them and loved them. And there's such a better way to life if you'll just listen to me a minute. I'll open up that Bible. I might begin in Romans 3:23. Got to begin somewhere. I might take them to Romans 6:23. I might take them to Romans 5:8 or Acts 16:31 if they believe. I might take them down to Romans 10:9-10 and Romans 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's easy. I tell churches this, I'm not a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and you're saved. You've got to have some conviction in your heart. But listen, if I'll just get a soldier to stand a parade rest for just a couple of minutes and listen to me, I can get him to understand. All I've got to do is give him the, my word will not return void, he says. And then I'll let him know that if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you should be saved. It's real simple. It's real simple, folks. It's real simple. But how are they going to call on somebody whom they haven't heard? How are they going to believe on somebody nobody's ever told them anything about? How are they going to hear it without a preacher? Praise the Lord. We're getting to go. Amen. God's in it. And God's been doing a whole lot. This church we're going to, I'll tell you this, and we'll get into a couple of Bible verses here. I want to share something with you on missions if the Lord will let us. But the church is this Calvary Baptist Church in Daegu, South Korea. Great little church. It stands about 5 stories high, and it's no bigger than probably this auditorium, left, right, or deep. This is probably about as big as it is, wouldn't you say, Devonna? The bottom floor belongs to a coffee shop. Hey, can I get an amen? Coffee shop. Amen. I see that quiet amen. Listen, this is still a Baptist church, and we can shout if you'd like to, okay? So at the bottom floor is a coffee shop. The second floor belongs to the owner of the building. The third, fourth, and fifth floor belong to the church. Belongs to the owner, but the church rents those buildings. So that third floor is the pastor's apartment. He's turned this big open area into an apartment with rooms here and kitchen here and living room here. He's a master carpenter. He's built this over the years, and he's turning that over to us as soon as we get there. Amen. Amen. I mean, I don't have to go look for a mud hut. I don't got to go haggle with some other man for an apartment. I don't got to raise key money for 10 years to move in somewhere. I've heard every story from every missionary. I've got to take my suitcase up 3 flights of stairs and walk into an apartment. Amen? Hey, God has set all that up for us. The third floor is that apartment. The fourth floor and the fifth floor belongs to the church services, the classrooms, the auditorium, and such. When you walk out the front door of the church, oh, God is so good. You walk out the front door of the church and you turn left and walk about 5 or 6 minutes. I mean 5 or 6 minutes. Me and Pastor Harvey could walk 5 or 6 minutes passing soldiers, bumping into soldiers. You can't look left or right without seeing soldiers. 5 or 6 minutes. And we're at the front gate of Camp Walker. You've been there before, Brother Cole? We're at the front gate of Camp Walker, brother. 6 minutes most. With that walker, 6 minutes, brother. 6 minutes. The next day, after I spend all day over here at the PX, maybe get a basketball game in with some young soldiers. Don't laugh. I'll play some basketball, okay? Get in, get a little workout in, meet some folks, invite them back to dinner. Hey, befriend some soldiers, amen? The next day, I walk out, and I say, I think I'll go down to Camp Walker. I went to Camp Henry today. I think tomorrow I'll go to Camp Walker. It's about 5 or 6, maybe 7 minutes this direction, right? 5, 6, 7 minutes at a slow pace. I'll be bumping into soldiers. I'll walk right on post. I go to the library, the commissary, the PX, the high schools, the sporting events, the community meetings, the change of commands, the gymnasium, anywhere I want to go. I can stand at the taxi cab stand and hand every soldier that gets in a taxi a track. With directions, phone numbers, and a clear presentation of the gospel. Praise the Lord. God did every single bit of that. I just wanted to get out and pastor a church like this with a little parsonage in the back and a little white picket fence around it somewhere. And God said, I'll let you out of the army, but I'm not going to let you away from the army. Amen? So he's called us to go back to the military. We've been out raising our support since December full-time. Since August, September, part-time, we're raising our money really swiftly. The Lord is blessing, and praise God, we have retirement to put toward our support. We still have a little more to raise. We still have a few more churches to get through the summer and fall. In fact, maybe about 30 more churches. We'd like you to please be praying for us when you think about us. That's what those prayer cards are really for. That's what we're here to present the ministry for. So it'll be in your mind and on the top of your hearts when you think about missions. Amen? Amen. Thanks for letting me present all of that. In spite of where we are tonight, we're in the house of God. I want to tell you about what God's doing. Amen? Now, can I share something with you out of the Bible, exactly what Paul says about missions? Paul, one of the best missionaries, Paul, who wrote my verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses number 9 and 10, Paul says, hey, I'm the least of the apostles. Paul said, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I once persecuted the church of God. Paul was just like me. Sorry, worthless, nobody Paul doing nothing for God. With all the ability to do it, with all the zeal in the world to do it, said he stood a head taller than other men, was a big, strong, impressionable man, and doing nothing for God. And Paul said quickly in verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. Paul knew that when the Lord reached him, he said, Saul, Saul, listen to me. And he said, oh God, what? He said, I said, this is what I want you to do. He ends up having a light there in a moment on the road to Damascus. And Paul knew that it was by the grace of God that Paul was anything. Paul then said, the grace that he bestowed upon me will not be wasted, okay? He said, I'm not going to waste that grace. What God's done in my life, listen, church member, what God's done in your life, teenager, God's given you a godly family. He's given you the Word of God right here. He's given you a place to come worship. He's given you the light to understand the gospel family back here. A pastor knows he hadn't wasted his life. And what God has given us, Paul says, what God gave him, I will not let it be wasted. In fact, he says, I've labored more than everyone else. He said, I've been laboring for the Lord my life since that day. And Paul said, not me, but he's that living within me. So when Paul says something about missions, I perk up and listen, amen? I perk up and listen because Paul knew something. Paul was me. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, please, chapter 4. We'll open up in a word of prayer. We'll ask the Lord to bless what he's given us. And I'll share a couple of verses with you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. Father, what you've done through Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray, Lord, you would help the message, Lord, to touch each heart, Lord, exactly how you would have, where you would have, Lord, exactly who you would have to hear it and receive it. Lord, as a church collectively, Lord, or in each one of us individually, help us tonight, Lord, to get some encouragement from your word tonight, Lord, as we think about what Paul said about missions. Lord, we ask you these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, I didn't know what time I would get up here, be 15 after or 15 till. I see what time it is. It's about 12 till, and I'd like to wrap up right at 8 o'clock. Is that okay? So this is going to be quick. It's going to be kind of like a Blackhawk. We're going to take off, we're going to do what we're going to do, and we're going to just drop right down and land somewhere, okay? That's a 101st analogy, but if you weren't a tanker, you'll understand that. God's word changes lives. Amen. I think Paul was a great attest to that. Paul knew that God's word had changed his life. In fact, Paul didn't hear it from another preacher. Paul heard it from God himself. So when Paul writes a little bit about missions, I like to listen. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 16 in Philippians chapter 4, he says, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. He's talking about the church here, sending to his necessity. He's already bragged on the church of Macedonia. He's talking to the church in Philippi. He said, but here's why they sent him these things. Not because he desired a gift. Listen, not because he desired something. That's your missionary, Paul. Not because he desired a gift, but because he desired, he says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account, church. Paul says, Brother Brandon says, look, I don't desire a fruit from the churches I'm going to. I desire that God would provide through the ministry that I'm serving in fruit to Tabernacle Baptist Church account. Isn't that something? Hey, what investment is better than that today, folks? What investment is better than investing in the Lord's work? What investment is better than you sitting on one of these comfy cushions right here 3 or 4 days a week, investing in missions through prayer, through monetary blessings, whatever God has given you, into the offering plate, sent out to these missionaries all around the world so that fruit might be abound to your account? Paul says, I don't want a gift. Paul says, and you know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He just wanted to serve God with everything that he had. He wanted to take the grace of God that was given to him, make sure it wasn't wasted, go out and pound and tell people about Christ. And he was bold about it, wasn't he? I think Paul, the zeal he had to persecute Christians was just as useful when he was a saved man, when he knew Christ, when he was out preaching for Christ, the same zeal. So Paul said this, number one, not because I desire a gift, but that I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Do y'all remember the story back in the book of Luke about the rich man that had all the fruit and he had to tear down everything? He had so much fruit and so much crops, the rich man did, that it wouldn't fit in his barns. You remember that story, brother? It wouldn't fit in his barns. Do y'all remember what he did? Turn to the Bible to Luke chapter 12. I'll show you what he did. Sad. Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. Christ here, verse number 16 of Luke 12, speaking a parable. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, this isn't Jesus, it's Jesus speaking, the rich man thinking. He thought within himself, what shall I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruits. So we thought about this for a minute. Hey, there's a lesson here. There's a danger about thinking here within yourself, okay? Don't go to yourself for advice, folks. Go to Christ for advice. Amen, young folks. Don't go to yourself. Look here. He thought within himself, and he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Hey, he had it all figured out, didn't he? He had it all figured out. He would take everything that was his. He wouldn't invest it in anything else except himself. In verse number 20, but God. Almost every time that comes around, but God, I like to pay special attention. Either but God's fixing to intervene and be a blessing to somebody, or but God, he's fixing to take charge of a bad situation. It's the latter this time. But God said unto him, that's that fool that was building up barns and he was doing everything for himself, this night my soul, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then he asked a question. I like that question. Whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The Bible tells us that he takes him from this world, and who did those things belong to? The Bible also tells us that if we'll seek the kingdom of God and all those things should be added unto us if we'll first seek the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us in Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there also is your heart. The point number one, of thought number one of missions that Paul is telling us about is that the fruit isn't Paul's fruit. Even if Paul desired the fruit, Paul understood it wasn't his fruit. When Paul's out working in the ministry of the Lord and leading folks to Christ, Paul knew that there was fruit that he was gaining that abounded to the churches that were taking care of him. And we see that Epaphroditus had brought him a bag of money, or had brought him supplies, or had brought him the missions offering, so to speak. And he was saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. This all belongs to you, everything that I'm doing. One day, there's going to be a mission account, and it's all going to be put onto you, your account, this investment. Isn't that a good investment? I often think about the times when maybe I get to heaven one day, and there's somebody here that I led to the Lord. Can you picture this young man here, this young soldier, or this young lady, or this young person? I led this person to the Lord. I think of somebody I led to the Lord at a soldier's funeral one time. I led his nephew, and I led his daddy, and I led his brother to the Lord. It's an amazing story. I'd love to tell you about it. Hey, I'm going to see these three men, these three young people. I'm going to see them in heaven one day. I led them to the Lord. That fruit was added to my account, yes. But you know what? All these soldiers over the next 5, 10, 20 years, 25 years when I'm overseas and I'm able to lead folks to Christ, and there's an account building and it's building and it's building, and one day when we're all in heaven, they're going to come over, I believe. I believe I have an account in heaven. You believe you have an account in heaven? I believe you do. Some of our accounts are really dry. They are, and that's your fault. That's not God's. I don't believe mine's where it probably ought to be either. Shame on me. One day I'm going to be in heaven, and I believe I'm going to meet all the people that I had an influence on and led to the Lord or pointed that way. Can you see the mass of people? I'm nobody, but I've led people to the Lord. Can you see the group of folks coming over to me? Maybe all the soldiers over the next 20 years that are influenced by the ministry that I lead to Christ, or that I point, or that I plant a seed, they get saved because I'm there and they come over. Can you envision that with me? The group of soldiers all coming over because of the ministry God's put us in. And then they turn and they say, okay, we have to go thank all those churches now. Amen? Hey, that's your fruit too. And Brother Hammonds, somebody's going to come up to you and they're going to reach out and shake your hand, brother. They're going to say, thank you, Brother Hammonds. They're going to shake your hand. No, they've never been to Killeen before, but they were over in Korea and some missionary was over there preaching the gospel, and they had a church to go to, and they came in and they got saved one day. And there was about 50 churches back here in the United States that were supporting worldwide missions, that were supporting that missionary over in Korea. And they're going to get around and thank you. That's fruit to your account. That's fruit to your account. That's fruit to your account. The sun should never set on Tabernacle Baptist Church ministry. The sun should never set. The sun should never set. Oh, I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Hey, Paul said, listen, it's fruit that abounds to your account. The next point is a question. Who are you giving to? You giving to Paul? No, you're not. Look here in verse number 18. Paul says, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, number one, sacrifice acceptable, number two, and well-pleasing to who? To God. Well-pleasing to God. I've often thought of this, and most importantly, in the last few months, it's a shame what God has had to take me to and how God has had to show me about my life prior to surrendering to the mission field. But I don't think that what I've given and how I've let God use me, listen, young people, wake up, listen. I don't think how God used me and how I allowed him to use me and give through me, I don't think that it was an odor of sweet smell to his nostrils. If you'll be honest, if you'll be transparent with yourself, do you think that what you're doing for God and what how you're using what God's given you is an odor and a sweet smell to him? Do you think it's a sacrifice acceptable? Do you think it's well-pleasing to God after all he's done for us? And I'm going to tell you, I've been a youth pastor. I've been the young married couples pastor. I've been Sunday school teachers. I've been an interim pastor. I've worked every position that an associate pastor would work. I've been a Christian in the military. I've been a Christian father and husband. And I'm telling you that when I've really grasped what Paul's saying about sacrifice and giving, I have to look back at my life and think, boy, I've got some wasted, not well-pleasing years. Young people, listen. Don't look back 20 years later at a time when it could have been so much more pleasing to God. Church member, think about what you're giving in way of toward the ministry, toward your local church, your time, the talent that you have, the health that you have, the ability you have to do things, the blessings God's given you financially. What are we giving? And listen, it's giving to God. You're not giving to me, folks. It may get to me somehow, and my light may stay on because people are supporting worldwide missions. You're giving to God. I don't need to judge if it's well-pleasing to me, a sweet smelly odor to me, a sacrifice acceptable to me. I've got to worry about giving a sacrifice to God. This church has to worry about giving a sacrifice to God. To God. And may it be well-pleasing. Paul said he had everything, and what he had, because that church had given him, praise the Lord, it was well-pleasing. Lastly, it's 2 minutes to eight, so my clock says 6 minutes to eight. We're going to go to my clock. Turn over into John chapter 4. This ain't Paul talking here, but I sure like it, so I threw it in my little notes. Is that okay? Amen. You ever heard a missionary come through and preach on this verse, John chapter 4, verse number 34 through 37? I bet you have. I'm going to show you something. Number one, it's fruit to your account, amen? Number two, you're not given to a missionary, you're given to missions, and missions is God's program, amen? It's not a made-up program, it's not a Baptist program, it's not a missions board's program, it's God's program. And God's allowed this church to be involved in it. Evidently, I see the missionaries that you support. He's allowed my family to be involved in it. And when we get involved, fruit abounds to our account, and it's given to God. Now, number three, it's a partnership. Let me read these verses to you. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, Jesus said, and to finish his work. There's still work to be done, evidently, or this verse wouldn't be there. Here we go to Korea, okay? Say ye not that there's 4 months and cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Jesus says, hey, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. And then he says this about partnership. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, or to life eternal. that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And wherein is that saying true? One soweth and another reapeth. One gives, another goes. One prays and another wins. Amen? It's a partnership. Turn in your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we will close with this verse. I've got so much more. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'll share something with you. Second Corinthians in my Bible is right after 1 Corinthians. Amen? I don't have Schofield, but I got a King James Bible here. Okay, look. 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 13. I want to pound this point. I want you to hear this, church. This showed me something. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 13. I've heard a lot of preaching. I've read a lot of Bible. I've seen some missions conferences specifically, and this is something. For I mean not, this is Paul, this is that man that knows something about missions, so I want to listen. I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened. But by an equality, this is what Paul wants, an equality. And how? That now at this time, your abundance, church, Tabernacle Baptist Church, your abundance would be maybe a supply for their want, the missionary out here. And their abundance, that missionary overflowing because he has everything he needs that Paul talks about, may be a supply for your want. Those are souls saved. That's why we're involved in missions, folks. The Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. That there may be equality. He says, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little hath no lack. That word equality is also meaning sacrifice. That equality should be well-pleasing to God. Folks, we're partners in this, amen? When we realize, when we get into a pious attitude that we're not a partner, or we're better than this other church, or we're different, or I'm not in it with this guy, or I do it differently than him, and we lose that partnership, we start losing traction, amen? When we realize that we're partners, and look, you're not going to the mission field today, are you? I am. So we've got a partner to get this done. We've got to go both to Jerusalem and the uttermost parts of the world, amen? We've got to go both at the same time. How do we do it? Paul says, look, I don't want that you be burdened. I don't want that you be burdened and Pastor Harvey have ease. Look, I don't think that this family over here ought to have it easy, and they don't really give anything. They just hold down this second pew over here. I know that's not true, but okay. They don't do nothing, but these folks back here, they're eating ramen noodles and bologna sandwiches the rest of their life because they have it hard. They give everything. They give. Paul said, I don't mean that that's not how it's supposed to be. He says there needs to be an equality. Paul said in Philippians 4:20, equality, a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God. Then how would we do that? Brother, you're retired, is that right? And you're working on post. You're rolling in the money. I know you are. You're rolling. Brother Harvey, you're a retired preacher. You've got no money. I know it. I know it. Brother Harvey don't have the income that somebody else might have. How are we going to be equal? Boy, y'all remember that old widow lady that came forward and gave us two or three mites in the plate, and Jesus Christ said, hey, he said, listen up, everybody. This lady here is giving more than everybody else gave today with your cymbals and trumpets and dances. She gave more. How in the world was that possible? Because it's possible that we could all give equally. If you give everything that you got to God, you just give it all to God, Brother Hammonds. Give it all to God. It's all His, ain't it? Brother Cole, give it all to God. Give it all to God. Hey, Ben, my new missionary. Hey, you give it all to God. Ben can give just as much as Brother Cole. And when you give all you got to God, and you give all you got to God, and I give all I've got to God, nobody's burdened and nobody's eased. everybody's rolling along in God's perfect plan. God lays it out in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 what we're to do. It's God's plan. It's not going to fail. I'm going to succeed. Hey, missions, oh man. Missions is going and giving and praying. That's missions. That's the Great Commission. You'll find all three right there in Matthew chapter 28. Now listen. I heard the missionary say one time a few months ago in a missions conference, he said, we need knees that will bow. We need hands that will give. And we need feet that will go. Amen? I'm going. And it's not because I'm anything. I'm nothing. I'm not meet to be called an apostle, Paul said. But by the grace of God, I get to go to Korea. Amen? I get to minister to soldiers. I need folks back here that will bow a knee and get serious about giving all they have to God. Don't give to Brother Neil. I'll fail you. You give to God. Let God take what's given and bless me and let me have a ministry over there that's fruitful that may abound to your account. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Paul knew something. I think when Paul wrote this, I can imagine Paul writing out of the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Imagine him writing this scripture, just getting excited that one day somebody's going to read this and catch on. Maybe churches in the year 2000 and something is going to catch on. Man, if we would catch on and just do our part, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God, I think we could shock the world through missions. Amen? It's fruit that abounds to your account, not mine. You're not giving to me, you're giving to God. But it's a partnership. Amen? It's a partnership. Amen. Preacher, thanks for letting me preach tonight. You're always a blessing. I feel such freedom to come in and preach tonight. I'm sorry the pastor wasn't here today. I look forward to seeing him next time. Pastor Harvey, it's so great to always see you. You're a blessing. Thank you. And Brother Hammonds, thanks for having us. You close however you see fit, brother.